You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Man, oh man, I was preparing my sermon this week because we're in the middle of a Heart for the House sermon series, and that's been fantastic. Yeah, you can get that, Steph. There you go. God bless you. That wasn't nice. I'm sorry, Steph. I love you. We're in the middle of a Heart for the House sermon series, and I'm sitting there, and I'm writing a sermon. It's fantastic. On Friday morning, I'm recapping, I'm rehashing, I'm going over it, making sure things work good and that it's going to be okay, and it's just not happening. Just nothing's coming out. You know, I'm just like, it just doesn't feel right. It's not the right sermon. And so I'm like, all right, I will think with my brain that God gave me of another sermon to preach. So for like half an hour, 40 minutes, 48 hours on Friday, I don't know, just too long, my brain would not work. Some of you are like, welcome to my life. It just wouldn't work. I could not get a single sermon idea out of my head. So I decided to do what any good preacher should do and go and read my Bible instead, you know, because I figured, look, if I can't think of something to preach, Jesus will have a sermon in the Bible for me somewhere. Does that sound right? And so I open up my Bible, I start reading from Matthew, and when I get to Matthew chapter 26, it jumped out at me, and I realized what God wanted to speak to us today about. And so I've titled this message, Betrayed. Betrayed. If you've ever been betrayed at home, at school, at work, anywhere or anywhen, I want you to know right now that God knows how that feels. God knows what it feels like to get betrayed by somebody that you love and you trusted. And today, He wants to bring you freedom from that betrayal. That moment doesn't have to dictate all the rest of your moments from now on. God wants to set you free. Amen. But likewise, if you betrayed a friend, if you are the betrayer of a friend, a spouse, an employer, or an employee, and this betrayal has haunted you for years, God wants you to find freedom from the shame and the pain of that mistake. Freedom from the shame and the pain of the betrayal that you committed. God wants to help both the betrayer and the betrayed in the one place today in the house of God. Amen? So if you've never been betrayed, by the way, if you don't know what that feels like, and I hope you never do, but should betrayal come and knock on your door one day, you'll know what to do about it if you listen up today. If you want to receive a touch from God, if you want to receive a word from God, if you want God to touch your life today, would you lift up your hands, close your eyes in faith as I begin to pray? Heavenly Father, we're asking that there would be breakthrough for broken hearts today, that harbored hurt would be banished in Jesus' name, that both the betrayed and the betrayer would be released of its shame in this house today. We don't just want another fun-filled sermon or another box ticked in our church attendance. God, we want to see lives changed, hearts healed, and a multitude of people finding freedom in your presence. God, do that today in this house, in these hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all those who agree, yell out, amen. We're going to turn to the most significant story of betrayal in all of Scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 26, verse 21 to 35. I'll say that again for all of you writing it down. If you're not writing it down, get a journal after church. If you don't have a journal and you're not new, you can just go ask for a journal at the new people's station out there, and they'll give you one anyway. And now they're like, we're going to run out today and we're going to order more this week so that you can do that next week as well, all right? It's important that you take notes, whether you take notes by writing it down or using your phone or Facebooking, Twitter, Instagram, however it is you want to take notes, that's fine. But get a journal if you can. Otherwise, listen to the podcast again this week. But we don't want Sunday to be the end of your spiritual growth. We want Sunday to fill your Monday and your Tuesday, your Thursday and your Friday, amen. So you come back to church next week having put into practice the things that God has done in your life on Sunday, amen. So get a notebook, get your Twitter, get your Facebook, get something and make sure you remember what God talks to you about today. Matthew chapter 26, verse 21. You ready? Splendid. By the way, if you're new, I like to be yelled at. I don't like a quiet crowd. I still love them, but I prefer if people yell at me. If it's good, you yell out, that's good. If it's great, you go, great, and hallelujah, glory, if you're from the south. Whatever you want to do, we want you to be awake in this place. And if it's bad, you get to email Tyler, and he will not respond. But if it's good, yell out, amen. Verse 21, and while they were eating, he said, all right, they're enjoying the Last Supper, all right? They're also, you've seen the paintings, right? There's, is it Da Vinci or Picasso? Da Vinci, thank you, I don't know. They're all famous and worth lots of money. And you know, they're all sitting around and they're enjoying dinner. And while they were eating, Jesus says, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. Welcome to dinner with Jesus. Not quite the atmosphere you were expecting, right? You've heard all, I'm going to have dinner with Jesus. It's going to be amazing. One of you's going to betray me. The atmosphere's changed in the room now. You better believe it. And then it goes on to say, they were very sad. This is dinner. And began to say to him, one after the other, surely you don't mean me, Lord. And Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to him who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him had he not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him and dipped his hand in the bowl, said, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. Surely you don't mean me. What did he call him? Rabbi. He didn't say Lord. He didn't say God. He didn't say Son of God, Son of Man. He said, Rabbi. Rabbi, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. See, at this point, this guy was not convinced that this person standing next to him is the Son of God. He didn't believe this guy he's about to betray is God. He thought, this is just a teacher. This is just a dude. This is just a rabbi. Somehow he saw miracle after miracle after miracle and thought it was sorcery. He didn't realize whose presence he was in. Rabbi. But what's really neat is, after the betrayal, see, he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. After the betrayal, what is he? Repentant. Why? It says that he was sorry what he had done and threw the coins back at those who paid him. And then he said, I have betrayed the Son of God. I have betrayed the Son of God. And then he went and hung himself. I want to tell you right now, I'm going to freak a bunch of you out. And I apologize if you've got a Catholic background, this is going to freak you out. Hey, God bless the Catholics. I love them. But they have told us for so long that everyone who commits suicide will be in hell. I want to tell you right now, Judas will be in heaven and you'll see him there for sure. For sure. You will see him in heaven. Very, very, very sure of it. How do I know that? Well, what does Scripture say you need to do to be saved? What's it say? What's it say? Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Jesus is Lord, and you'll be saved. So what did Judas do? Believed in his heart, confessed with his mouth. This dude was the Son of God, and I betrayed him, and I am ashamed. He went a step further, and he was sorrowful, so ashamed, so broken by what he did that he threw the silver away and went and hung himself, and he was gutted, and it was better that he wasn't born. And so he ended his life. The idea that someone in their most sorrowful, hurtful, painful place in their life, so painful that they genuinely believe that the only way out is suicide, that God would abandon that person in that moment, is not the God that I have read from front to back, right to left of the Word of God. You'll see that bloke in heaven. Come on now. You'll see him there for sure because he believed in his heart and confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. But let me tell you, if you're in a place like he found himself, there is better that God can do than that for you. You can be restored, set free, sanctified, and set up to live a blessed life. Don't end it that way. Come on. Hallelujah. That'll preach. I go off topic sometimes. And when I'm in an off-topic message and then I go off that topic, it can go crazy. And that's when you end up with stuff like that. Jesus answered, you have said so. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Who? Wait. This is forgiveness he's offering. Who's he saying to drink from this? Drink from it, all of you. Everybody in this room right now, drink from this cup. This is my blood of the covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this cup, from the fruit of the vine, from now until the day when I drink it with you all in my Father's kingdom in heaven. Hallelujah. Come on now. And then they sung a hymn and went to the Mount of Olives. Jesus then told them, this very night, you will all, who all? Same all, the same all that he offered the cup to. You will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, Jesus, even if all these punks fall away, it actually says, even if they all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. I don't know him. And Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And then all the other disciples said the exact same thing. This is a tense dinner. Right? This is like way more tense than dinner with your ex's parents. This is intense. This is not like the picture. I love it. We have all these pictures, you know. There's like a Da Vinci and everyone's like, they're drinking wine and, you know, they're going all Ecclesiastes, you know, eat and drink and be merry. And they're all like, hey, it's this beautiful picture of the Last Supper. I think the picture would be more like this. Is Jesus making a whip again? Who's he going to get this time? We're in trouble. This was not that dinner. This was intense. You could cut the tension with a knife in this place. Let's pull it apart. What's happening in here? They're all enjoying a meal, and out of nowhere, Jesus is like, one of you punks is about to betray me. They're all like, not I, who would? Maybe Peter, like he's always a punk, but like I won't. Jesus straight up says, the one who dipped his hand in the bowl with me right now. Jesus doesn't try to hide it. He doesn't try to ignore what's going on. He confronts it head on. He doesn't go all Iowa nice, Midwest passive aggressive. Now, when I first moved here, that blew my mind. I'm like, y'all are so nice, it's not good for you. I'm sitting at a traffic light on Jordan Creek Parkway, turning right onto Westtown Parkway. I think that's where it was anyway. And I see the light and it's red. So I'm just chilling out, texting like everyone else does in the car. I don't anymore, officer. It's all good. I don't do that anymore, okay? But even when I was, man, I was texting. I was encouraging someone with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I was being biblical. I'm like, hey, dude, Jesus loves you. Just letting you know while you're down in the valley, Jesus is going to bring you up to the mountaintop. Hang in there, brother, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I was doing for sure, right? And so I'm like doing this. And I know because it was 6 years ago, verbatim, you know. sitting there and I look up. And I see orange turn to red. I'm like, snap. The light changed and I missed it. But what's messed up is there's like 10 to 15 cars behind me. And nobody said nothing. Nobody honked their horn. I will never forget that day. I've been living in America for like 8 weeks and I'm like, what is wrong with these people? Say something, do something, let me know. But anyway, they're all just like,
He'll figure it out.
If we're in Melbourne, if we're in Sydney, Canberra, Adelaide, Brisbane, or a town of 40 people in Australia, somebody would have been at my window with a brick going, move your blankety blankety blank 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 and blank car, your blankety blank blank, and buy a real blankety blank car while you're at it, you blank. And that was a local minister. But not here. He'll figure it out soon. We'll just have to be late to the airport. We won't get to go to Grandma's funeral. Oh, well. It'd be my funeral if we're in Australia. Lesson one in betrayal. Hurt, pain, confront it. Deal with it. Don't go Iowa nice. Don't go Midwest passive aggressive. Confront it peacefully, respectfully. I know what you did. Jesus came straight up, right, and said, I know what you did. I know what you're doing. In your case, confronting it will allow you to gather the facts. Maybe you were wrong. Maybe they misunderstood. Maybe they didn't know what you wanted. Maybe the dude in the car's having a heart attack. Thank God you came up to break the window. Maybe they'll be repentant and ask for forgiveness. But don't let bitterness fester without any chance of resolve. It won't resolve itself. Oh, it'll deal with itself. No, he might stay there for another cycle of lights. He might be having a heart attack. You don't know. Deal with it. Confront the issue in your life, or it will grow from a little seed into a monster that 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years later will be trying to destroy your life. This guy with his hand in the bowl is gonna betray me. You can't conquer what you won't confront. And here, straight after that, is the most wonderful part. Straight away. This is amazing. This is the Last Supper that we're painting for you right now, by the way. Welcome to a whole message. We should have called it communion. This is the Last Supper. Straight away, Jesus offers forgiveness. That whole conversation that we just had was the pretext of the famous communion passages that everybody reads every time you have communion in church. Nothing wrong with doing it every time. Nothing wrong with it at all. In fact, I want to be reminded of it. It's fantastic. It's like, you know, your first time you ever get asked to do communion, you're like, cool, I'm going to say something different. And you read the same scripture and you're like, oh, it's the same every time. What do I do? It's good to be reminded of the context of what was going on and why and how. It's a wonderful scripture. But this is the atmosphere that was in the room as communion was happening for the first time ever. You've heard it said before, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. This bloke right here is about to betray me, immediately followed by, this piece of bread represents my body that is broken, whipped, beaten, take it, eat it. Then handing them a glass of wine, he says, this is my blood poured out for all for the forgiveness of sins. And then he goes on to say, drink it, all of you. Peter, who will deny me, Thomas, who will doubt me, all of you who will fall asleep when I need you, Judas, who will betray me, drink it. I forgive you. Amen. He didn't let the situation, the hurt, the pain of the betrayals about to come his way from his disciples and closest friends, he didn't let that change who he is. He didn't let that alter his nature. See, it's in his nature to forgive. And immediately after calling out Judas' sin and betrayal, take this cup and drink it for the forgiveness of your sins. And he says to all of you here who have betrayed someone or will betray someone, and he says to all of us who have denied Jesus like Peter did, and he says to all of us who have fallen asleep and done nothing when God called us to do something, Jesus knew before he went to the cross what we would do. He didn't let our sin or our betrayal change his nature. And because it didn't change his nature, it's still in his nature to forgive. It's still in his nature to heal you. It's still in his nature to set you free and set you up for a better life. Praise God. That's good news. Amen. And just when Peter was starting to think that he's so much way more awesome than Judas, Peter's sitting there and going, yeah, Judas is a special place in hell for you, bro. Jesus is like, y'all are going to let me down tonight. Y'all are going to hurt me a little tonight. You're going to fall asleep when I need your prayers. And Pete, you're going to straight up say, you don't know me. I'm going to be beaten and bloodied on a cross in front of you. And you're going to look at me and say, I don't know him. I don't know him. And then a third time, for good measure, I don't know him. Church, that's betrayal in my eyes. And in that environment, you too, Peter, take this cup of forgiveness. I love you. Don't do it again. But drink from this cup, find freedom. And Jesus knows what we've done and still offers the cup to us today. Now that's tough, I know, for some of you to hear if you've been betrayed. You've been betrayed, and here I am talking about how if you're the betrayer, Jesus' blood covers you and you're going to be all right. Sometimes we don't want to hear that those who hurt us will be so freely forgiven by our Father in heaven. And I understand that's tough. So let's talk to you about how Jesus showed you how to deal with your own experiences of betrayal and hurt. Because Jesus was a man just like us. He was God. He was the God-man, the Son of God, Son of Man. He was the God-man. Just like us, he was a man. He was God, but he felt pain like we felt pain. He felt emotion like we feel emotion. We feel because he feels. Let us make mankind in our image. That's what God said in Genesis. Let us make mankind in our image. And so in God's image, we were made. We feel because he feels. We were made with emotions because God has emotions. We read in Hebrews that Jesus understands all that we encounter and are tempted with, yet he did not sin, but pressed on toward what the Father had called him to do. He stayed true to who he was. He stayed true to his calling. He stayed true to the design that God gave him. Jesus' internal struggle with Judas' betrayal and the disciples' neglect is not recorded in Scripture, but we know that it was difficult for him emotionally because we know he had emotions. He's making a whip one day and getting angry and driving people out of a temple. He's crying when a friend died. God had emotions. Jesus knows how you feel. He didn't stop him or throw a fit, but he responded to Judas graciously. Jesus was not a pushover, by the way, but he responded to the betrayal from a position of kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. And if you've ever been betrayed by someone close to you, the very first thing you need to do, your first response should be to cry out to Jesus, who loves you, pursues you, and intimately understands the reality of betrayal. He intimately, personally understands what it feels like to be betrayed. Cry out to him. If you need to, cry it out with him. Yell it out with him if you have to yell it out. Go for a drive with your car windows closed and scream it out if you have to. Why, God? Why did you let that happen? Scream it out with him if you need to. I've done that. Make sure your windows are closed. Because inside it'll be like, why, God, why? On the outside it'll be like... People are like, what's happening? Drive faster. That dude's cray-cray. But trust me, Jesus knows what this feels like. He knows the intimate pain of betrayal. And if you'll stop letting the devil do mental somersaults in your brain, pause and have a real conversation with God about it. He will bring you the peace that you wish you had. He'll protect your heart from becoming wounded, hard, and bitter, and help you stay true to who you really are, the you you were before you got hurt. That's the goal through all this, to stay true to who you were before the hurt came. That's who we want to be. That's who God designed us to be. Amen. Do you know the story of Daniel? Daniel was betrayed, but he still prayed. Someone betrayed him and set it up so if he prayed to God, he would be sent and thrown into a den full of lions, but he didn't let it change who he was or how he dealt. He still prayed. He still stayed true to who he was. He had a passion for prayer and his passion remained. Joseph was betrayed by his family. He had a dream and told them about it. One day I'm going to be a ruler and this and that and the other and yada, yada, yada. It's going to be amazing. And his brothers beat him to a pulp, threw him in a pit, and sold him. I have five brothers. They've never done that to me. And I have been really mad at them before. And I have felt hurt by them before. They've never sold me. They probably talked about it. They never did it. And then he was purchased as a slave by a man named Potiphar. Second time he was sold, purchased by a man named Potiphar. And then he was promoted, and then he was betrayed again by one of his employers and thrown in prison. But he's still dreaming. He's still sharing his gift of dreaming and interpreting dreams with those around him. And it was in his nature to share dreams. It was in his nature to share visions. But because of this gift that God gave him and how God designed him, he got bitten and hurt by it. But he didn't let it change him. He helped another couple of blokes in prison and they forgot about him. Why won't people help this guy? Why does he keep getting hurt all the time? One of the dudes that forgot about him, he forgot because he got dead. That's a violent story. Read it. I think The Walking Dead's bad. Read the Bible. Crazy stuff in there. And the other bloke just straight up forgot about him. But then it comes time when the king needs a man with a gift like Joseph has. And Joseph is still a dreamer. Joseph still dreams. He still interprets dreams for others. Because he didn't let the betrayal get in his heart. He didn't let the betrayal change who he was. He didn't let it rob him of his big dreams, of his big vision. See, if you've ever been betrayed by a friend, by a spouse, I am so sorry that you have to go through that. I am sorry. That's rough. I wish that didn't happen to you. But please, please don't let the devil change you. Don't let him change you. You don't have to be somebody or something else to survive this. You don't have to be somebody or something else to be able to endure something like this again. You just need Jesus. You just need Jesus. He understands. He knows how it feels. You need him. You have a beautiful, trusting, loving heart. Keep it. The devil may have taken your spouse, but please don't let him take your heart too. Were you passed over for a promotion at work, a promotion that was promised to you? Don't let it change how hard you work. You are a hard worker. You crush everything that God gives you. You honor God with your work. And the devil may have robbed you of an opportunity, but don't let him take your work ethic too. Did a staff member betray you? Someone who works for you? Did you pour into their life, train them up, teach them the business only to have them leave, go somewhere else, take customers with them? Don't let that change who you are. You've always had a heart for raising up leaders, for trusting people, for equipping people, for giving people a chance despite what other people say about them. And the devil may have taken staff and customers from you, but don't let him take your heart for embracing, encouraging, and raising up other people too. Don't let him change who you are. Don't let him change your nature. Never let once bitten, twice shy dictate how you're going to treat people, embrace people, and have faith in people. You know, boats don't sink because they're in the water. Boats sink when water gets in them. And a boat can be sailing around an ocean surrounded by thousands of miles of water in every direction. It's only when the water gets in it that it begins to sink, to be destroyed. Don't let betrayal get in you. Letting it change who you are, letting it change your nature, letting the devil alter the DNA of your heart, that's letting water in your boat. How did you look at the world before you got hurt? Before that employee took off on you? Before your spouse left you? How did you view hard work before you were passed over for a promotion? That's the real you. The real you is from before that, back when you had the rose-colored glasses on. That's the real you. That's not the naive you. That's the real you. That's the way you act when water is not in your boat. That's the you I want to see again. Now, hey, I don't mind hanging out with you with just nothing but a pinky fingernail hanging above the water and everything else is down. Hey, I love that person too. I'm glad you're here. Pinky fingernail guy or gal can serve in our church, can be a blessing in our church, all good. But you will be so much more effective for the calling of God on your life if you can get back up out of that water and be who God called you to be. How did you serve at your old church before someone there betrayed your trust? In your old church, maybe you were betrayed. Okay. How did you serve God before that? I want to see that person here. I want to see who you were before. Like I said, I'll take water you, but I'd love to see healthy, strong, restored you. The way I see it, you can let water in your boat, or you can invite Jesus into your boat. Spending time with Jesus is like spray insulation. And it just expands and fills all the gaps so the water can't get in. I like to think of it more like 25,000 bottles of spray insulation just filling up the whole thing, and I'm just like, meh. Stuck, can't move. What's going on? I like to think of Jesus like that. Spending time with Jesus, like, it fills my boat. His presence fills my boat. So nothing else can get in there. Nothing else at all. I want to share a personal story with you. Would you stand up with me? Just to, want to end with this personal couple of stories. I remember a number of times in my life when I've been betrayed by friends, family, employers. See, when I was 7, my parents got divorced. And I remember a number of years later, maybe 8, 9 years later, talking with a relative about a memory that I had. See, I had this memory of standing out the front of a courthouse, a red brick courthouse with like a stone edge, traditional thing, but surrounded by dirt and bitumen. That's asphalt and dirt and stuff. And it's hot. I'm out there with my brothers and sisters and people are crying and I'm just like, man, I want an ice cream. And I'm like, what's happening? So I asked this relative who was also in that memory what that was about. Do you remember that? And they were like, yeah, that was that was outside the courtroom. And that was outside the divorce court where your mom said she didn't want the kids, didn't fight for yous, and gave up on yous. But luckily your dad was ready to fight for yous. Look after it. Now, I don't know the details of that story and what really happened in that room, but I remember this tremendous sense of betrayal that came upon me at that time. And I remember making a decision that from that moment on, I'm going to let that relationship with my biological mum just die. As a very young man, I decided that I don't need that or her in my life. And I thought back over the last couple of years before that, and I remembered that, hey, I made all the phone calls. Every conversation, I rang up. You'd always answer, and she'd always answer with, I was about to call you. And I thought, or at least this is how it seemed in my head anyway. I was about to call you. So I decided I'm not going to call her ever again. If she calls, I'll answer. I'll have a conversation. We'll have a relationship. But I'm never going to call. She'll have to call. After that moment, it was at least 24 months. With no communication. And during these 24 months at least, I got angrier, madder, bitter. It didn't just affect how I thought about women in my life. I was like, I don't need a woman in my life. I don't need to date anyone. I don't need to marry anyone. They just betray you. I know it's not true, ladies. It's all good. I know it's not true. But that's how I got. But it didn't just affect how I thought about those kind of relationships. It also made me start to neglect family. But see, I'd always loved family. And I'd call family every day. I'd call a family, my cousin, aunt, uncle, grandpa, grandma, dad, brother, sister, somebody. Call them, how you doing? Love ya. What's happening? Yada, yada, yada. But I stopped doing all of that. Didn't even contact my dad hardly. See, I began to let it change me. Something that didn't even affect me until someone said one sentence, which redefined the whole last 7 years before it. And I let it change me. I don't want to let betrayal or a sense of betrayal change who we are or how we operate. So I made a decision when a lady was preaching a sermon that I was visiting their church in Tatura, and she talked about shame of betrayal and different things like that or whatever it was. And I can't remember the sermon, but I remember going forward and saying, this has to change and fix it. And I started making phone calls to people again. I love you. 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 Yada, yada, yada. I don't care what happens. We don't want to let hurt, negative experiences, bad situations change who we are and how we treat people. I want my rose-colored glasses to stay with me for the rest of my life. Amen. As a pastor, I've had some funny experiences. And I mean like straight up like, that's from a book or something. I remember meeting with a couple on a Thursday. They want to meet with me on Thursday upstairs in this building. They told me how excited they are that they found this place, and I think they've been coming for a couple of weeks or something. And they're like, we're going to be with you forever. You tell us anything you want us to do, we're going to do it. We're in. We're all in. We're going to be here forever. We love you. We love your family. And I'm like, that's really cool after 2 weeks or so. That's awesome, right? So I'm like, cool, well, do you know what? Just find somewhere to serve. Coffee bar, because we used to have this like $3 coffee machine. Coffee bar, you know, ushers, greeters, whatever you want. Just go do something. They're like, no, we want to run somewhere. I'm like, cool, just go serve. And over the next couple of weeks, let's get to know each other. I'd love for you to serve something. There's a spot for you here. God will be with you. And they leave and they're like, yeah, it's the best church ever. God is so good. We love you. We'll be here forever. Then on Sunday morning, I get a text message. Actually, God's leading us somewhere else. I never seen him again, ever. And I'm like, man, your Jesus got bipolar or something. I'm like, because I thought like 2 days ago, he's like there forever. And now he's like, you know, I was confused. I'm not going to let things like that change how I love people, change how I embrace people, change how we accept people, change the fact that we say in our church, you can turn up on Saturday night for the first time ever and serve on Sunday morning. We don't care who you are, where you're from, what your last church says about you. We want you here. We want you to serve. We want you to use the gifts that God's given you, and we won't let the devil change how we love people. We're not going to let the devil change me into a guy that holds too tight, won't trust people, won't give people a turn of church until they prove themselves, because someone else said they'll be with us forever on Thursday and left on Sunday. Don't let the devil redesign you. Don't let the devil remodel you. God made you you. Let God restore you back to who you were before you got hurt. If you're like, oh, I used to view the world with rose-colored glasses, I was naive. No, you weren't. You were who God called you to be. Get the goggles back. Look through those again. I personally have been hurt and hurt, but I tell you, my life is so much better and so much bigger having decided I'll take the hurt again, but stay true to who God called me to be. Be you. Some of you today, your boat has begun to sink and you're full of water. You got your pinky above the sea level and that's it. Because somebody betrayed you, somebody hurt you, and you've let the devil change you. Full of water. Well, today, come to the front for prayer, because I want to tell you, I got the greatest sump pump the world has ever seen. His name is the Holy Ghost. He's going to suck that water right out of you. He's going to set you back up, restore you back to what you were meant to be. He's still got the blueprint, and he's going to knit you back together because he knit you together in your mum's womb. And it's time to put those goggles back on and live like you've never been hurt before. Amen. Make me naive, if that's what you want to call it. But I'm going to be who God called me to be, in Jesus' name. Today, at this same altar call, yeah, I'm going to probably go 5 minutes over today. Get over it, all right? Today, at the altar call, we're going to have people who have been betrayed, worshiping the same God next to somebody who betrayed somebody. Both the betrayer and the betrayed are going to be knit back together and made who God made them before that hurt ever came into their lives. The same God doing the same thing for both the victim and the perpetrator, both the betrayed and the betrayer. New life, restoration, set free and set up for a blessed life in Jesus' name. The second I walk off this stage, don't wait, don't hesitate, come straight down here and say, God, suck this stagnant water out of my life in Jesus' name. Make me who you design me to be. But there's people in this room who have walked away from God, or maybe have never had a relationship with God, and today you need to pray a prayer with me and give him your life. Don't leave this place without knowing Jesus. I'm not asking you to change. I'm not asking you to be something else or to act like me or to act like Steve. Be you. I'm not asking you to stop sinning even. I don't care. Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. I know there's things in our lives that need to change, but it's not my job to change you, fix you. It's God's job. It's my job to show you who he is, to introduce you to him. And then if something needs to change in your life, if something's broken, if something's not how he designed you, he'll speak to you when the time is right and your heart is ready. And then he'll give you the strength and the courage to overcome that thing. And when God speaks to you, I want to encourage you, come and talk to us. We'd love to help you through that process. But we're going to wait for God to put that on your heart first. But right now, all I'm asking you to do, not to change, not to be like me, not to be like Tyler, not to be like Matt, but just to pray a prayer inviting Jesus into your life. So everybody in the room, with a loud and a bold voice, everybody together so that nobody's on their own, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin. He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and everlasting life. Please forgive me for things that I've done wrong. You call that sin. And help me to be all that you designed me to be. I receive this new life in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise God in this place.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.